Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity with your host, David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Today we're speaking with Ben Stark. I think everyone in the industry should know Ben Stark. Ben's a serial entrepreneur. He built and sold two great HVAC companies in Fort Worth, Texas, and was very successful doing it. He's spoken at many industry events for us where he's told the story about the two companies, what he learned from the first company, and how he applied that to the second. It's been very interesting stuff. It's been really well received by the people that have heard it. And also what I appreciate about Ben is he's a tremendous student of this industry. He's developed an incredible knowledge base. And then he's such a nice guy. He's always willing to share this information and ideas, which explains why he's here with us today. So welcome, Ben.
Oh, thank you, David. You're very kind in your words. I appreciate that.
It's all true. So there's a lot we could talk about today, but I'd like to focus on one thing, technician retention. In a time when I heard a lot of contractors saying they couldn't find and keep good people, you always had a line out the door of people who wanted to work for you, and your retention rate was substantially better than average. But there's sort of two parts to that discussion. One is how you find and how you keep them. But I'd like to skip the discussion about how you find good techs and focus on what you did to keep them, because I've heard you talk about this before. I thought it was some really unique ideas and great ideas that people could learn from. And what I've been thinking is, as you head into the busy season of the year, your technician crew becomes absolutely critical. It can really damage a company to lose a top tech during the busy season. Did you have a plan for keeping techs and particularly keeping them during the busy season?
Yeah, of course, you know, our core values with the company was to build a company that was very respected in the industry, which attracted people. But keeping the people was a lot harder to do. One of our main things that we tried to implement, you know, towards April, May of every year was a retention program, which by most part, you know, consisted of trying to find ways that we'd get guys to sign on for the next 4 or 5 months. And if they did so, there'd be a reward at the end of it. Primarily training programs and, you know, some fun things to do like a fishing trip. And then we'd also have some type of tool program that was built around it also that would help them build their tool chest as far as, you know, the guys that were working in the field anyway. Of course, we kind of did the same thing. We tried to fit something around the CSR department as well that kept them involved in the company and wanting to stay.
So how would this work? If you'd around April or May, you'd call each tech in and you'd say, listen, we want to make sure that you're happy and you stay with us for the next 4 to 5 months. Here's a program that we've got in place. It's a combination of training, big party at the end of the year or at the end of the season, and a tool program. Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah, that's exactly how it went. We'd say, you know, we'd allow like probably as much as about $500 in the tool account for them to get. And then we'd also have a training program. Of course, we wanted them to train up. So we would be willing to invest so much money in a training for, you know, after this time was completed. So about when it was completed, of course, was fall, which is September, October, our normal slow months. And that coincided with kind of most of, you know, the training programs that were going on that time of year where they could sign up and better their skills, whether it be communication, sales, you know, maybe going into some management classes if they thought that that may be what they wanted to do after they moved from being a field personnel. That was a package that was generally anywhere from, you know, probably 800 up to about 1200, depending on what we thought the budget might be. And we kind of figured that we were going to allow them a bonus at the end of the year because, you know, our last 5 or 6 years in business, we were very, very profitable and we almost always paid bonuses at the end of the year. So we wanted to use it to our advantage so that it would, you know, keep people with the company when people are trying to, of course, pick them off, you know, from our competitors.
Right. So about $1,200 per person on this initial busy season retention program. Did you put this into a document in front of them? Would they sign it? You would sign it? Was it that formal?
Yeah, we would have them sign on for, you know, so many months, and if they did, this would be the package that they get, you know, kind of a quality, you know, control package that would help them be better at their jobs, and we would, you know, provide them tools and, of course, like a fishing trip at the end that was a big company kind of party get-together. A lot of times we took them up to Lake Texoma, striper fishing and things like that as a reward.
Yeah, I was just going to ask what the fun item was. So a fishing trip typically, and again, you'd wait till the end of the summer to do that.
Yeah.
So on the training part of that, they'd have an opportunity to select the programs that they were interested in. You'd say something like, look, we're willing to invest $500 or $600 in training for you at the end of this period. You get to select the training program you'd like to attend. It's got to be something that is relevant to us and your career here with us in the future. But other than that, we're wide open. Is that sort of how it went?
Yeah. I mean, we would even try to tailor something for them. Kind of like after the fact, I've thought about more things, you know, in the last 4 years since I actually, after I sold the company, about more unique plans that was kind of more like a career path for people, you know, development of people. I kind of looked at like, you know, a Boy Scout system where you'd come in like, you know, as a tenderfoot, you'd step up to a first class, a life, a star, and then an Eagle Scout or however that steps went. But anyway, I think, you know, developing programs like that for a career path where if a guy comes in, for him to move up a level, he's got to achieve a certain amount of training, a certain amount of on his tool list, and then he had to recruit somebody to move in to take his place, that as he moved up, he needed to help recruit somebody to step in behind him to take his place. And I've always thought that the best way to do something like that would be ways to figure out if he helped recruit and train this person, he would have some vested interest in him. So you would find a way to reward him, whether it's monetarily off of the earnings of that person he brought in, or maybe a point system where it could be something like days off or things like that, that you reward a person when they do help mentor a person coming in behind them as they move up through the ranks.
Yeah. Now, did you implement anything like that at Stark Air?
No, this was kind of an after fact, but I've talked to several people, and I think there's some successes out there doing a program like this already. And the successes come from, again, just trying to retain people for longer amounts of time in your company. So it's like if you're going up through the steps and you recruited two or three people behind them and you're getting rewarded for the actions of those people, it's kind of like golden handcuffs staying with the company.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you leave, you kind of drop back and you lose that ability for those people to help you earn off of, you know, what you've helped develop with through those people.
Right. You mentioned also that you put a package together for CSRs during the summer months. Can you describe that briefly?
You know, I think the best reward for CSRs is almost like some type of weekly program where if they're hitting their budget or their goal that you have set for them, you do neat little, you know, specific things for them. I mean, you could do stuff like, you know, gift certificates to pedicures or massages or things like that. But again, you know, I still think that you develop a program for people like that keep people involved in your company, where if you want them, you know, to retain them through the busy months, especially keep them from going to, you know, your competition, you got to figure out ways to reward them in maybe a monetary way, or maybe even, again, it may be days off or, you know, special little gifts that you have. But I think it all needs to be in writing so that people see that you're stating that this is the end result of the program that you'll receive. You'll receive these rewards if you're with us and you move up through the line with us.
Got it. So along the lines of the golden handcuffs, You also had, was it the warranty fund that you guys built up? You may have not called it the warranty fund, but it always seemed to me like people wouldn't want to leave because they had that money coming in from that fund as well.
That was our installation production pay fund, and we would pay them a percentage. You know, they got paid based on a percentage of what they installed. But we also had a quality control fund that if they did their job right and there was, you know, few callbacks and few problems with the jobs after they left, they would have a fund that built up for 6 months. And at the end of that 6 months, they got paid upon everything that happened, you know, during the, you know, if it was January, you know, and they did all their installs, we would hold back a 1% quality control fund that they would receive at the end of June. After it had gone 6 months, any type of warranty or repair work that had been done would be deducted down from them, and it would leave them with a package at the end of the month. It's almost like getting five paychecks or an extra paycheck every month. And that was another thing that was strictly a quality control bonus, and they received that at the end of that. And there's another kind of thing, like you said, it's kind of like golden handcuffs, where, you know, if they did their job right, they got a reward at the end for doing their job exceptionally well.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hate to lose that. That would be very hard to walk away from. And, you know, after you'd been with the company for 6 months, you're going to start getting that every month. That's significant.
It really did help keep the, you know, the production department is, a lot of times in companies, they're the, you know, least looked upon, but they're the hardest workers and they bring in the most amount of money for the company, if you think about it like that. And I think, you know, they deserve their just reward if they're out there doing their job properly. And we spent a lot of money on training with those guys as well. We wanted for them to be very high quality at what they did and not have the warranty problems that prior to starting these programs, you know, we were just like everybody else. We had warranty challenges, and it was always a large cost to the company. But this puts it kind of on their back and gives them the responsibility to, you know, make as much as they want or suffer the consequences if they're not doing their job right.
Right. Wow, that's a great idea. I can see that working out really well. You've incented them to do their job well, and if they do their job well, they're well compensated for it. It's a great plan. So would the installers also participate in that retention program that we talked about at the beginning?
Yeah, that would be a separate program. We looked at the quality control program as something that we were going to pay them, you know, as kind of like we had budgeted in our financials as part of either our repairs that we had to do after the fact or the reward that they would get. And then that didn't matter to us because they were probably going to get a bonus at the end of the year. And if we could figure out a way to help them see that and retain that over a shorter period of time, like the, you know, three or four, 5 months during the summertime, that reward was something that we would just hand out at the end of that time and just kind of deduct it from what our general bonus was going to be at the end of the year. So it's kind of already all budgeted. It's just the way we handed it out.
Got it. Well, this has been great. I mean, I think this is very useful information. I think our members will get a lot of great ideas out of it. I know the podcast subscribers might want to contact you with more information. You do some consulting through ServiceNation. Is it okay if I give everybody your email address?
You bet. I'll be happy to go out and help them design programs too. So.
All right. It's ben.stark@serviceroundtable.com. And thank you so much for doing this with us. I think this is invaluable information. I know they'll enjoy it. So I look forward to talking to you in the future.
You're welcome, and I enjoyed doing it.